Today we're going to do Simin Ches in Sefer Eretz HaTzvi for our 15 minutes of Torah's Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter starts out by quoting the Gemara Maseches Pesachim and Dav Lamed Zayin and Beis that holds that if you hold like Rabbi Meir about Maaser Sheni, there is a machlokas, well known machlokas comes up all over Shas, comes up in Sukkah as well, whether Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa or Mamon Hedyot. It's most notably in the Sugya Maseches Kiddushin, if you're Mekadish and Isha with Maaser Sheni, because what's the rule about Maaser Sheni? You see, Truma, it's very clear. You give to a Kohen, it belongs to the Kohen. Maaser Rishon, very clear. You give to Levi, and it goes to the Levi, right? And the Levi has it. Maaser Sheni, what do you do with it? You keep it for yourself, it's just you're limited, you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. So the question is, how do you view that in general? Do you view Maaser Sheni as Momon Gavoa? It's God's money, it's not your money, and he's kind enough that as long as you're in Yerushalayim, as long as you're in his house, he's willing to share it with you, in his proximity at least, he's willing to share it with you. Or is it that, no, Maaser Sheni is your money, it's just that there are halachos, there are limitations, that even though it's your, you know, you have limitations on what you're allowed to spend your money on. You may have your money, you're not allowed to spend it on Avodah Zarah. So you have, Maaser Sheni is your money, and there's a limitation. You're only allowed to spend it on food in Yerushalayim. I mean, you're only allowed to use it to eat it in Yerushalayim. Or if it's Mamon Maaser Sheni, on food to eat in Yerushalayim. But it's fundamentally yours. So Rameir's Shita is that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. It's God's money. So says the Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, that if you hold like Rav Meir that Maaser Sheni is God's money, then you're not allowed to use matzah of Maaser Sheni on Pesach. Because that matzah is not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And your matzah on Pesach has to belong to you. Asks the Gemara, really? Does the Torah say anywhere by matzah that it needs to be lachem? That the matzah needs to belong to you? You know where the Torah says lachem? You know where the Torah says lachem. Where does the Torah say lachem? By Galaminim, exactly, by Lulav, by Esrog. That's where we have a requirement of lachem. It never says it by matzah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a limud. We learn the word lechem from the word lechem by chala. By chala it says, ariso sechem. So we learn from there that matzah also has to be lechem. So there is such a din, even though it doesn't say it beferish in the Torah, through a limud, there is such a din, says the Gemara, of lechem when it comes to matzah. Asks Tosfos Akasha. That's all the Gemara, nothing fancy. That simply, there is a din of lachem when it comes to matzah, and therefore, if you hold that Maaser Sheni is not your stuff, you're not allowed to be yotze matzah with grain that's Maaser Sheni. Says Tosfos, asks Tosfos, if you have a Gezeirah Shavah to teach, that matzah has to be lachem, it has to be yours, why is it that the Gemara needs a special limud to tell me that you're not yotze with matzah of tevel? Isn't it obvious that you're not yotze with matzah of tevel simply because it's not yours? What is tevel? What's Tosos asking? What's tevel? You have all this produce, you haven't been mafresh, the Trumas and Maisos. So part of this is supposed to go to a Kohen, part of this is supposed to go to a Levi. It's not all yours. So isn't it obvious that you cannot be yotze in the midst of matzah with tevel? Because after all, it's not all yours. If it's not all yours, you can't possibly be yotze the mitzvah. So Tosa says, why does the Gemara have a fancy limud to tell me that I can't be yotze with tevel? It should be obvious I can't be yotze with tevel. Once we establish that matzah has to be yours, that it has to be lachem. Comes along the Ran and he answers that tevel is lachem. You know why your tevel is lachem? Because I have, let's say, a silo full of grain, right? I've bags and bags and bags full of grain. So I'm going to take some of that grain and I'm going to make matzah, right? Now, is that piece of matzah, that kezias of matzah that I'm eating, is that necessarily something that belongs to the Kohen? No, from my whole silo, from all my bags of grain, how much do I have to give to the Kohen? So, Mikra Dimidaraisa Chita Achas, a single kernel. Midrabanan, 2%. How much do I have to give to the Levi? 10%. So, who says that the grain that I use to make my matzah out of is going to be the grain that really belongs to the Kohen and to the Levi? Maybe that will be other grain. And therefore, the Tevel actually is mine. So, I need a special limo to tell me that I cannot be Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah with Tevel. That is the Ran's answer. Now, apparently, says Rav Shechter,
Both Tosfos and the Ran hold that when something is when you have tevel, the part of it that is destined to go to the Kohen is not yours. The question is, how do you view when you have a giant amount of tevel? The Tosfos would hold that each drop of tevel has Mamon HaKohen mixed in with it, and the Ran would say that no, you look at the big picture, you look at all the tevel, and some portion of it is Mamon HaKohen, but the portion that you want to use for yourself is not Mamon HaKohen at all. But what they all agree, what they both agree, is that seems to be, is that whatever will ultimately go to the Kohen and Levi is already not yours, even while it's still tevel. And that's a chiddush, because you would have thought, well, when it's tevel, it's all mine, I just have a mitzvah. What's my mitzvah? My mitzvah is to be mafrish. What does it mean to be mafrish? I'm going to take off a portion. Okay, now I call that portion truma. Now I have another mitzvah, give that portion to the Kohen. But so long as I didn't do my hafrasha, I would think that it's all mine. But apparently both Tosfos and the Ran say, no, it's not yours. It's already not lachem. They only argue about how to view which portion is not yours. But certainly whatever is destined to go to the Kohen is already not yours. Now, Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis raises the following, first of the Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin tells us that before we even that, why is it that it's not yours? Why is it that I have tevel and the portion that I will one day be mafresh and will one day give to the Kohen, even though I have not yet been mafresh, I have not yet given to the Kohen, that portion is already not mine. Why is it that it's not mine? So there is a notion that comes up, a concept that comes up in several places in Shas. Matanos shelo hormu kemisha hormu damyan. What does that mean? Matanos shelo hormu kemisha hormu damyan. Even the stuff you haven't taken truma from yet, even though you haven't done the truma yet, it's as if the truma's already been separated. It's as if it's already been done. Apparently, this idea that when I have tevel, the portions that will one day go to the Kohen are already not mine is based on this notion of matan shalahurmu or kamisha humradamya. Now, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Nun Chesem Beis says the following, that even if you hold lav kamisha humradamya, even if you hold the matan shalahurmu, that which you haven't separated, is not as if it's already separated, if you were to steal tevel from somebody, let's say I steal somebody's grain before he was out. So what would you think logically? What would you think logically? I steal $100 worth of tevel. Now I know that $2 worth of tevel is ultimately going to go to a Kohen. $10 worth of that tevel is going to go to the lady. So I steal from you $100 worth of tevel. How much do I have to pay you back? Do I have to pay you back $100 or do I have to pay you back $88? Logically, what would you say? What might it depend on, right? So you might think, well, if it's matan shlahum or kamisha or madamian, that you know whatever is destined to be separated, it's as if it's already separated. It's already in the Kohen's and Levi's rishus. So then, what I stole from you is only $88, right? What I stole from the Kohen and Levi is the other, but what I stole from you is only $8. But if you say lav kamisha or madamian, you would assume. It's all yours, so it's $100. Says the Gemara in Kiddushin, even if you hold lav kamisha hormudamin, even if you hold that it's as if it has not yet been separated, when you steal tevel, you don't pay for the dmei truma shabo, you only pay the $88. It sounds like, even if you hold lav kamisha hormudamin, it's not yours. When you have tevel, the portion that will go to the Kohen, the portion that will go to the Levi, is not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And that's why someone who steals it from you doesn't have to pay it back. So it's hard to say that this entire notion of Tosfos and the Ran, that whatever is Tevel is not yours, whatever the portion of Tevel that's going to go to the Kohen is not yours, is based on Kamisha Hormudamyan. No, even if Lav Kamisha Hormudamyan, the Ganav who steals it from you doesn't have to pay it back. Must be because it's not yours. So says Rav Shechter, no, that's not true. It's if you hold Kamisha Hormudamyan, it's not yours. If you hold Lav Kamisha Hormudamyan, it is yours. Why then would he not have to pay it back? If it's mine, why doesn't he have to pay it back? Because payment for stealing something doesn't depend on whether you were the owner or not. When I steal something from you, the fact that I have to pay is not based on whether you are the owner of the item. That's not the key question. The key question when I steal something from you is, did I cost you money? Was I mechaser mamono? Did I ultimately make you lose money? Now, even if you say lav kamishor medanin, it's not as if you've already separated the shumas and maisos. But ultimately, how much money did I really cost you when I stole $100 of tevel from you? $88. Because ultimately, you're going to give some to the kohen, you're going to give to the... So even though maybe it's all yours, but I didn't cost you that amount of money, and that's why I only have to pay you less. And that explains why the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin over there explains Machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, whether you have to pay for the full amount when you stole Tevel. The Gemara says that depends on whether Tovas Hana'a is Mamon or Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mamon. What does Tovas Hana'a mean? These are very important Yesodos and Shas. What is Tovas Hana'a? Not exactly, close, but not exactly. I have grain, right? So I have to separate truma, right? And then I have to give it to who? Kohen. Which Kohen? So someone said, who just said? Kohen, you choose. Anyone I want, right? So I get to choose which Kohen. Does, when I give to a particular Kohen, is that called that I'm doing him a favor? Meaning that I'm benefiting him in some way? Or do we say, no, it belongs to Kohanim already, so I'm just giving him what's rightfully his. Is it rightfully his? It's rightfully Kohanim's, but it's not necessarily rightfully his. The fact that I get to choose which Kohen to give it to, is that considered that there's monetary value in that? That I get to choose to give it to this Kohen, not that Kohen. That's the issue. Tovas Hana'a Mamon, or Tovas Hana'a Lav Mamon. The Gemara over there says, if you steal Tevel, how much you have to pay back, whether you have to pay back the full $100, or you only have to pay back the $88, depends on whether Tovas Hana'a Mamon or not. L'chora, that doesn't make sense. Because Tovas Hana'a Mamon is only when it isn't yours in Dine Mamonis. So we say, okay, it doesn't belong to me, but the fact that I get to choose, maybe that makes it like it's that also has value. But here, you're definitely the Bailam on it. So it must be, says Rav Shechter, that you're putter since lo chisro. You didn't cost him any money because he'd have to give it away anyway. But if you hold Tovas Hana'a Mamon, so just like you're considered like a bailim even on something that's not yours, it also makes it as if you were Mechaser Mamon from the guy if you hold Tovas Hana'a Mamon. But again, the Yisod is paying for something that you stole really depends not on whether he's the bailim or not the bailim. Paying for something that you stole really depends on were you mechasro mamon or not. But the big yisod that he's working with is that Tosfos Shita apparently is that when I have tevel, knowing that there's truma in there, that truma is not mine. It already, even before I've done anything, it's already not mine. It's already as if it belongs to Kohan. And therefore, it's not lachem. Right? I can't use it for matzah because it's not lachem. It's not mine. Here's where it gets tricky. That's the sheet of Tosfos, that's the sheet of the Ran. There is a Gemara in Babas with the Kuf Chav Gimel that talks about the following case. When a man dies, who gets his possessions?
His kids.
How do they divide it? Well, first of all, boys, but the oldest gets double. Pishnayim, right? What if someone owes the man money and only pays back after he dies? Does the Bukhar get Pishnayim of that? So there's a rule. Correct. The Bukhar only gets Pishnayim b'muchsach, not b'ra'u. What the father already had, not what is coming to the father. Let's say the father's a Kohen. He died. The father had a best friend who was the Yisrael. Always gave him all of his truma. Always gave him, whenever he shechted an animal, you know, there are matanos that you're supposed to give to a Kohen when you shechted an animal also. What's that? The Zrol L'chayim Mekeva. The Zrol L'chayim Mekeva, right? That you give to the Kohen. He always gave it to his favorite Kohen, his next door neighbor, who he loves. Always gave it to him. The father dies. does the son get pishnayim of the neighbor's zroel l'chayim v'keva, the neighbor's truma? Is it considered makire kuna, the fact that he was his go-to kohen, does that make it like he was already muchsak in it? Says the Gemara in Babasra, somewhat surprisingly, a kohen's bechor gets pishnayim of what was coming to him based on makire kuna. If he knew that he was going to get it because he was the guy's favorite kohen, the bechor gets the pishnayim. So Tosfos says, well, wait a second. If matanosh lahurmu or kamisha hurmadami, it says if he's already separated, then that's true even of truma, right? Truma, Israel, l'chayim, okay, whatever matanos kuna there are, it's going to be true because it's as if it's already designated. But says Tosfos, if matanosh lahurmu or lav kamisha hurmadami, that which he has not separated yet are not as if they're separated already, then the Kohen's Bechor is not going to get Pishnayim of the Truma because it's not in the game yet. What about the Zroel L'Chayayim Mekeva? Yeah, that he would get because you don't have to separate Zroel L'Chayayim Mekeva. Meaning, when I have a bag full of grain, I have to decide which kernels are going to the Kohen. When I shech an animal, do I decide which part goes to the Kohen? There's no decision. There are certain parts that have to go to the Kohen. That's an automatic. The Zroel L'Chayayim Mekeva is an automatic. That the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim of that. But the Truma depends. Truma depends whether it's Kamish or Madamian or not. So here's the problem. The Rambam quotes this idea that the Bechor gets Pishnayim of what his father normally gets, because he's Makire Kuna, he's the guy's favorite Kohen. And the Rambam says it by Zroel L'Chayayim V'Keva. The Rambam quotes that din by Zroel L'Chayayim V'Keva. So Minchas Chinuch says, wait a second, Rambam, you paskin matonos shlo hurmor kamisha hurmodamin. That even that which you have not been mafresh yet, it's as if it's already been mufresh. And therefore, this din of Bechor getting pishayim should not only be true of Zroel L'Chayayim Mekeva, it should even be true of Truma. Because it's kamisha hurmodamin. It already belongs to the Kohen, because we view it as kamisha hurmor. Why does the Rambam, therefore, only mention this halacha by Zroel L'Chayayim V'Keva and not by Truma? So what Rav Schechter suggests, and I'm going to make a long story short because it's late already, but what Rav Schechter suggests is that the Rambam must hold that Kemi Shehur Mudamyan does not make it that the Kohen is the Muchsak. It does not make it that it belongs to the Kohen. Kemi Shehur Mu is a din that applies to other areas of halacha. For example, you know, there's a halacha that if you have, let's say you have tons and tons of Meis Hashem, you can't possibly schlep it all to Yerushalayim and eat it all. It's just going to be overwhelming. What do you do with it? So you exchange it for money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, go to nice restaurants when you're in Yerushalayim with that money, right? What if you have truckloads of Meis Hashem, you brought it all to Yerushalayim, then you brought it out of Yerushalayim, and now it's going to be such a schlep to bring it back. Can you still exchange it for money? So there's a din called klitas mechitzos. Once it's been in Yerushalayim, you lose the opportunity to change it for money. Now you have to use it. You have to eat it, right? What if you brought it all to Yerushalayim before you were ever mafresh maestros, while it was still teva? Before you were ever mafresh maestros, teva. You brought truckloads of teva to Yerushalayim. And then you brought it out of Yerushalayim, then you were mafresh trumas maestros. So the idea that that's going, what you're going to say about that, but the klitas mechitos, the fact that it was in Yerushalayim, makes it that you no longer have the ability to be poda it, that's going to depend on matana shel hormu kamisha hormu damu. That's what the Rambam will say. Well, if matana shel hormu or kamisha hormu, so even though when you brought it in it was tevel, we view it as if you brought the Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim. If lav kamisha hormu, no, we don't view it as if you brought the Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim. That's where Matan Shalom plays a role. But the Rambam fundamentally disagrees with Tosos. The Rambam fundamentally holds that when you have Tevel, it completely belongs to you, not to the Kohen, even recognizing that one day much of it will go to the Kohen or the Levi, but while it's still Tevel, it's completely 100% in your possession. And therefore the Rambam never would have asked the kasha that Tosos asks to begin with.
Right, Tosos asks, if we have a Gezeirah Shavah to teach that matzah has to be lechem, why do I need a pasuk to teach that you're not Yotzei B'Tevel? Of course you're not Yotzei B'Tevel, it's not lechem. The Rambam wouldn't be bothered by that, because the Rambam would say, guess what? Tevel is lechem. It's absolutely yours. Matan Shel Omer has nothing to do with whether it's lechem or not. It's absolutely yours. So that whole kasha that began this whole discussion wouldn't have been a kasha according to the Rambam. Okay, that's Simon Ches of Eretz HaTzvi really summarized. Okay.